You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Voice After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Voice After Show.
Can I get a hell no?
Hell no. Hello, everybody. Bing's for doing, and we're doing another after show for NBC's The Voice. Episode 23 already.
That's insane.
And we are at the live rounds, top six. Already down to the top six.
Down to the top six.
The wrong top six, because we have to talk about, after we introduce ourselves, I'm Jason Eichler, by the way.
Hey, I'm Christian Rosenberg. How's it going?
And I'm Chloe West.
Now, we have to talk about how wrong the top six is.
Why? What happened? Last what
week,
happened on Tuesday,
Judith
Jason?
Hill and Sarah Simmons got voted off. And I think Adam Levine said it best when he said, I hate America.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get an amen?
Can I? Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Listen.
Like what?
Amen means I agree, everybody, if you didn't know. And I agree because this is crazy. I mean, Judith Hill and Sarah? I can see America not voting for Judith because they just feel like she's already made it.
She's too good and doesn't need The Voice.
But come on.
But Judith and Sarah, mm-hmm. that's absurd. And,
yeah, Sarah.
With it's a few of the people that are still left, the fact that they lasted longer than those two is just insane.
And if it is about The Voice and we're judging solely based on The Voice, the Swan Brothers, really? They can't sing.
Well, it just proves that any singing competition now on TV isn't just The Voice. Even if The Voice really tries to make it about The Voice.
It's a popularity contest.
At the end of the day, yeah. Because Judith obviously had the best voice. Sarah's voice was the most unique. Mm-hmm. And they're both gone now. So
it's disgusting.
It's disgusting. But that is why I all week was sitting in the lab coming with different, like, you know, creations. And I thought I've created a way. We'll find out later on in the show, where the scoring can change. We're still America can vote, but it's not controlled by them.
Huh.
Yes, Christian came up with a brand new voting system, and we're going to learn about that at the end of the show.
We're going to learn about it, and you're either going to slap me in the face or you're going to be like, that's brilliant.
I mean, I had a Twitter follower tweet me the other day saying that she's not even going to watch the show until the voting system changes.
Well, and they finally changed it this year because, or they changed it last season because before it was like kind of sketchy because some coaches would have really good teams and then another coach would lose members, but the same thing happened.
Yeah.
So it's,
let's get into it.
Let's get into what happened
tonight.
We're
just not happy. So first
we're not happy. We're not happy. We have no more Judith or Sarah.
I know. Wah, wah.
But at least one of us, from like their first day predictions, one of them is still there.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about.
I don't know.
Let's start with Holly Tucker.
Some very handsome man. That's
her first song was When God-Fearing Women Get the Blues by Martina McBride. And I will say Holly's growing on me. Because I think she is kind of growing in the competition. I'm not necessarily a Holly Tucker fan. Mm-hmm. But I can look at her and say, like, her tonight, since her from the beginning of the competition, I think she's grown as an artist.
Absolutely. She's definitely growing on me. I feel like we're in the same boat here. Not would consider myself a Holly Tucker fan, but I loved her rendition of this song.
Yeah.
I like when she gets raspy, and she's really learning to work the stage. And I'm feeling like a proud mama a little bit, being like, good job,
Holly. Yeah, like she's doing it. And I thought halfway through this song is when she really like kicked it up a level and just took it home.
Yeah, I mean, this song really showed. I mean, last week, you and I were blown away.
Yeah.
And I still thought although I wasn't as big of a fan of this performance as I was last week, it was still solid, and we still had the stage presence. We still got a little bit more attitude from her than we've had in weeks past.
Yeah.
So I think she's finally starting to grasp that, yeah, you know, we all know that everyone here has got a good voice, but you got to do more than that. You got to perform. Well, and she's finally starting to do that.
Because the three of us have been in agreement since the beginning that, yes, she's a good singer, but she wasn't selling it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think she's finally able to kind of figure out what she's good at, doing this sassy little raspy thing, and now she's owning it.
Yeah.
So props to her for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And the note she hit at the end of this was just so good.
Oh, it was very good.
So I gotta give it to her. Next up was her choice, and she sang My Wish by Rascal Flatts. And that's kind of the Holly Tucker that I don't necessarily like as much. But I thought she did okay.
See, this is one thing different, because this was, to me, the first ballad that she sang all season where I actually felt emotion from her.
I agree with that, for sure.
Okay, I will say, yeah, she connected with it.
Yeah, the first real connection.
Can we hear that one, Steven?
Which one?
My Wish, the next one Holly Tucker sang. We just went really fast. Because this is my problem with it. When you hear her in the verses, Gary from Rascal Flatts, we talked about this when we were watching, his voice is so smooth like butter, and it's like very wordy for her.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's like definitely a wordy song.
It's supposed to be like the way he does it is so smooth, and you don't realize it's so wordy.
Mm-hmm. And it's in one breath.
Yep.
And I mean, I honestly think Rascal Flatts is one of those artists who you really shouldn't be doing on shows like this, because Gary's voice is so unique.
Yep.
It's so unique. You know who could have done a Rascal Flatts that would have been really cool? Would have been Chris. Because he has that high falsetto voice.
That would have been really good for
him. That would have been really cool.
Sure.
But, I mean, the song was okay. The beginning I thought was pretty shaky. And she kind of kicked it in the end. And because she sort of started doing her own thing. She was less exactly how the song normally is. So you weren't comparing them as much. But I didn't love it.
And I think even on the chorus, when Gary does it, he goes up to the high notes so effortlessly, and it's not. And she was kind of shouting them.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of took away from the feel of the song's supposed to be this, like, sweet thing, and she was kind of screaming it at us.
I don't know. I mean, I personally, now, there's no surprise that, like, or no secret that I'm not a big country fan by any means. But this is one of the few country songs that I actually really enjoy. And, I mean, overall, like I said, with the emotion and everything, I enjoyed it. For a Holly song, I thought it was definitely on one of her better songs of this, and obviously not her best, but definitely on her upper echelon. The last 2 weeks, she's definitely suddenly jumped up.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely want to say she sang it very well.
Oh, yeah, you can't say
really,
it was bad.
Really, really well.
I think just stylistically, the way she did it was not as good as the original. And obviously, if a song is this current, you're going to compare it to the original.
Yeah. I really did like her Martina McBride, though. And I guess I want to see her kind of combine the two.
So do we think we're only eliminating one this week?
We're only eliminating one.
Do we think she's going to make it?
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about it now, or should we wait till we talk about everyone?
I don't know.
I think Holly will be safe. I think she'll be safe another time.
Yeah, I don't know. It just depends on if the songs peak in the iTunes chart, because that seems to be what's saving everybody.
I think she did good enough to last a little longer.
Yeah, I don't know. She might. We'll see.
We were completely blindsided last week, so who knows?
Actually, when I'm looking at everybody who performed tonight, the top six.
Mm-hmm.
I think she might be going home.
That's what I think. I would like to see the Swan Brothers go, but I think she'll go.
Yeah, I think the Swan Brothers are the least talented that are on, that performed, but I think that they are very popular, and they keep playing this Oklahoma card, and looking at it, Holly might be the one to go.
Next up, we've got Michelle Shamwell, and her first song was what Usher chose, and it was Somewhere Only We Know by Keane. And I thought this was a perfect song choice, because I like to see her do the little bit more, like, acoustic thing.
Yeah.
And just the way she does it is so powerful.
I actually didn't really like this song choice.
Really?
I like the idea of her doing something softer and more vulnerable. I just thought the beginning was really choppy.
This is my critique with Michelle. When she goes to the high notes and she doesn't belt them, they're like so airy that it almost sounds like she's not going to hit them. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to connect with her in the beginning of her songs because I am like sitting there, I'm like, oh, don't mess this up.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't, but she's not supporting them. And so it just, I don't know, I'm like on edge watching her sing like
that. It sounded like she was playing vulnerability instead of being vulnerable. You know what I mean?
Okay.
She was like pushing, like trying to be gentle. And like this part,
this part
she clicked
is when
in.
It, yep, got it for me too.
Right. And now, this is going to be weird coming from me.
Ooh.
To me, I don't like it when she sings quietly.
Yeah.
I mean, even on falsetto. And obviously, you know, she's hitting the notes. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't feel comfortable, like you
yeah,
were saying.
Well, because I think she's singing quietly incorrectly.
But, I mean, and she can do ballads. We've seen her do True Colors and things like that. She can definitely do the ballads really well. But to me, this was her worst performance of the season.
I kind of
this
agree.
This song was her worst
really?
Song all season.
I wouldn't say worse.
Can you name me one worse?
I thought the Robin song sounded worse than this.
Really? You thought
yeah.
so?
And I mean, I like that song choice, but I think she sounds good at the end. I like when she does the
raspy
thing.
Well, because all of a sudden, when we're getting loud a little rockier, then she's getting her comfort zone.
But I think the softness that we're hearing, I really do just think it comes down to technique.
You know what I think's happening is she thinks she doesn't have to support it as much because
yep.
it's quieter, which is totally incorrect. She really needs to support it even more than she does with going hot,
like
going
Amber
belting
Carrington,
it.
Who when she does like Crazy or something tonight, and there's like softer parts, it sounds consistent through her whole voice, and
yeah.
I think that's what Michelle lacks.
Mm, yeah.
But then from there,
she's saying, mm-hmm. I knew you were troubled by
then
Taylor Swift.
Then we have
Swift.
The holy crap moment.
Well, we're going to talk about this. Let's,
what?
You say what you need to say first.
Let it out. I'm now really afraid of what he's going to say.
When you walked in.
You want to talk about turning this pop song into just like a rock anthem. That is what she did with this. I thought it was great. I thought it was energetic. I freaking loved this performance.
We got to give it a shout out to Taylor Swift for coming in and doing that.
And that was really
she's
cool
so
too.
Cute and beautiful, and I love her.
That was really cool of Taylor Swift
yeah.
to do that. To come in on the show, and who knew Taylor Swift and Usher were cool?
I know.
Usher knows everybody.
Yeah, valid.
Honestly, I'm in love with Usher.
Okay.
This show's made me love him so much.
This song, I thought was just okay.
How?
I don't think she did anything. The song is written to be this epic thing. The only thing she did is took out the dubstep and put in guitars. I don't think she like changed the arrangement that much. And I thought she got better again toward the end, but I just don't think she can do the, like that didn't sound that good to me.
Mm. Oh, see, I love
like she kind of sounded a little lost.
I love
it. Really?
Yeah. It's giving it more of, like I said, like the rocker feel, not like the girly pop song.
But this is just like the original. It's just guitar instead of dubstep.
Yeah, I hear what you mean. I like the version. I like the idea of, you know, switching it up and making it a rock song. And I think she performed it very well, but I just don't think it was, like, the right song choice. You know, she wasn't really pushing it that much.
Oh, do we have a caller?
Caller, you're on the line with The Voice AfterBuzz TV After Show.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
What's your name?
Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
What's up, Andrew?
Hi, Andrew.
It's the same Andrew that told you on Twitter last week that it would be Stuart and Sarah going home.
I know.
How did you know?
You did correctly predict that somehow.
Gosh.
And kudos
well,
to you.
It was pretty easy. They were the least relatable and terrible song choices.
You think even
really?
Sarah is not relatable?
Well, it looked like they had a hard time putting together the tape pieces for her, so...
Mm, yeah, I actually agree.
I think her personality is, like, the super artsy painter girl, so she is kind of... Her personality is hard to relate to.
She was the hippie
to.
of the yeah. boys.
Who's your favorite?
Danielle.
How did you think she did tonight? What did you think of her performances?
I thought she did really good.
Yeah?
I think the final two is going to... Two of the final two is already pretty much set with Michelle and Danielle.
Michelle and Danielle for the final two. I mean, that sounds like it could very well happen.
Who do you think the third will be?
I actually totally agree with you, Andrew, and that's what all the blogs are saying, too, because if you look at Twitter and if you look at their iTunes, Michelle and Danielle are the only ones that that are charting on both of those.
I hope Amber makes it to the finale, too, though.
Yeah, the finale is a final three.
I could actually see Amber going home tomorrow.
Oh, no.
I didn't like her first song, and the second one seemed kind of weak. It all depends on whether or not people think Sasha saved herself enough with that second song.
You don't like Sasha?
I liked her early on, but I think she's kind of slowed to a halt.
Oh my gosh,
we totally disagree.
Yeah, you're like completely different than all of us, but that's cool. So, I like hearing
but he's
things
right.
like that.
Oh, Steven
jumps in saying he's
he
right.
He predicted.
He did correctly predict it. There's no denying that.
I will say that last week I did fear that Sarah Simmons was going home.
You did say that. I do remember that.
But I didn't think Judith was going anywhere.
What do you think about the Swan Brothers, Andrew?
I think they're really good. Although, I didn't think Wagon Wheel was a good fit for them, but...
I agree. I liked the second song
with them.
Me too. And I thought that they fit their sound better than Wagon Wheel, which I felt like they were just kind of doing because it's popular.
Well, we're actually getting ready to go into the Swan Brothers right now as well. We're about to talk about them right now, buddy. And I'm kind of on the opposite end of you guys. I enjoyed Wagon Wheel, and I didn't like the second one.
Okay, here's my problem with the Swan Brothers. I think they are just like bar karaoke, a little too country for me. But Andrew, we want to thank you for calling
in.
Yeah,
thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
for watching.
Andrew.
And so who you say is going home? You think Amber's going home?
I think it'll be Holly and either Amber or Sasha.
Well, there's only one that goes home this week, they said. So if it was only one.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
then
only
it'll
one.
Be Holly.
Holly. He's saying
okay.
Holly.
We'll see if you're right.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Look at that. He was in Canada, right? Is that what they said?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought they said Canada for some reason.
It's interesting, though. It'd be interesting to see where he lives, actually, because that's kind of, if he's, I don't know. We're in LA, so we probably have a different perspective on what. Okay, Swan Brothers Wagon Wheel by Darius Rucker.
It's actually by Old Curl Medicine Show, and I have to get that right for all country fans out there who love this song. Darius Rucker is covering it right now, and he has it on the charts, but it is a very, very popular song in the South, and it is sung by Old Curl Medicine Show.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I have to...
Hell yeah. Okay, this is what I think about the Swan Brothers. If you saw them performing in a bar, it would be fun, but I don't think if they were on The Voice, a record exec would go into a bar and be like, those are stars, because I don't think they're anything special, and I don't think vocally they're that great. They just are picking good songs that white guys and guitars can sing.
I kind of agree. I think there would be a killer band at a bar or on a cruise ship.
Yeah, if you're buzzed.
Can you imagine
you have
on
to
a
be
cruise
slightly
ship?
Buzzed, and then you want to like get down to them.
Okay, this song is a drinking song, though.
I was going to say...
it might be this song.
The pattern that I think I've really noticed about them is they're singing songs that would be really popular at country karaoke bars.
Yeah.
But I mean, this song, it's like a simple chord progression song. It's a fun little song. I thought they did all right, and I was busy staring at the dancers in this one. but that's just me.
I just think they're kind of disposable. Like, I don't think vocally they stand up to anybody in the competition or anybody in country music.
Yeah, I think what would have been better for them in this song is if they interacted with the dancers, because the dancers were taking up so much attention.
Yeah.
And the whole song is, it's a very cheeky song, and they kind of lost it for me in their stage presence here, because they didn't, you know, give a little wink to a dancer or kind of do a little something with one, because...
And they had the opportunity to go for it.
And the whole song is about that. And like you said, Christian, it's not a hard song to sing.
Right.
So they really should have played into the performance of it.
And if you look at their coach, Blake... Sometimes he's really good singing, sometimes he's just okay, but he always has killer stage presence, and he's always kind of like, I don't want to say the word sassy, but like straight boy sassy.
But now, you know, you're talking about like a simple, easy song. I mean, what I was expecting tonight is maybe someone does, you know, being that it was one song that they chose and one song their coach chose. So I'm thinking you're probably going to have a slower ballad and then like your faster, fun tune where, you know, maybe one of them was simpler than the other. But to me, all of a sudden, we had the simple fun one, so I'm thinking something more challenging, maybe even a little more upbeat for their second song.
More upbeat than Wagon Wheel?
I mean, that one, like, the tempo's still, like, this speed.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, but I think you're the only one thinking that, because you've got your
I'm the drummer. I'm the drummer. But to me, it was, like, almost, like, the same... Almost the same type of song to me.
No, I agree. So next up, they sang Okie Dokie from Muskoki.
No, no, not Okie Dokie.
I don't know how the hell you pronounce it.
Okie from Muskoki.
Whatever. Okie Dokie Pokey.
No, Okie, because they're from Oklahoma.
Okay. Blake said that there's 90% of the country that's going to love this and 10% that's going to bitch. And I'm in the 10%.
I'm too.
I didn't enjoy this at all.
To the people on Twitter and YouTube, I actually like country music. I'm not anti-country music. I'm just more selective in it. And I don't like the Swan Brothers, but that doesn't mean I don't like country music. It means I like good singers.
This was a public service announcement. For Nelson Eichler.
For this, I think that they did the song very well. It's a cool old Merle Haggard song, and they rocked it. But I don't think it was a good song choice for The Voice.
Well, and, no. Okay, let's just listen to their voices. They sound like a word I'm not allowed to say on here. They just are not good singers.
I don't know. I mean, it's amazing to think that they've stayed this long. I mean, when they got down to, like, around the final 12 or 10, when they had that, like, moment song, I can't remember the name of the song off the top of my head.
Country music fans are the fans that still buy music.
Yeah.
And...
because those are... if you get country music fans behind you, they are loyal.
Yeah.
And I think that's... I think if they were, like, an alternative something... you know what I mean? If they chose to sing alternative music, they wouldn't be in the competition.
Definitely. But, you know, you're talking about loyal fans. You know who else has loyal fans?
Who?
AfterBuzz.
We do!
Awesome loyal fans. We have one just call in for crying out loud. People dialing us and everything. And we need their help for them purchasing our new movie, Serial Buddies.
Yeah.
That just came out. You can get it off of iTunes and everything, you know, all the other digital copies, Blu-ray, DVD. It's hilarious. That was produced by our Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. Starring, you know, had lots of cameos besides Maria in it. You also had friggin' Artie Lang,
Kathy Lee Gifford,
Beth Bears, from Two Broke Girls,
Christopher Lloyd, the great Back to the Future,
studded cast.
And it's hilarious. And we're able to put all this stuff on, not have the pop ups, not just suddenly stop and cut for like a commercial break because of, you know, your support. And we want to continue doing that. And by doing that, we need a little more funding in a way,
exactly.
If you put
so
it.
When so when you purchase the movie, the funds go directly back.
They don't come to us. They come to the studio to help us make sure we put on nice, quality, smooth, uninterrupted programming for you guys. And you could, you know, find all that by going to SerialBuddies.com, or you can go on their Twitter at Serial_Buddies, or you can follow AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, or Maria, at Maria Menounos on Twitter
and
as well.
And it's really funny.
It is hilarious.
It's like one of
I'm not just saying that because I work here. It's literally hilarious. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me. It's going to, I think, do what Grandma's Boy did, you know, where it just like was kind of a grassroots,
a cult
huge
following. And then all of a sudden it's huge.
Yeah, it's totally on that track. So everybody should check it out. So you can be the hipsters about it and say you knew it before.
Be the first on your block to say, I got this. You all need to watch it. And then we're like, wow, it's hilarious. I'm in it myself.
You guys know who else has got it?
Who else has got it?
Sasha Allen.
Woo!
Let's talk about her. I know. Ow. Sasha's first performance of the night was Ain't No Way by Aretha Franklin.
Oh, my Lord.
And this was just mesmerizing. I didn't even take notes while she was singing because I couldn't look away from the TV.
It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. was absolutely beautiful.
Can I read my notes?
I'm in love.
Yes, please.
My notes say, ow, my God, ow, ow, ow. Not messing around.
I just want to clarify. You only said 3 hours. You wrote four of them.
I'm sorry.
So I just want to clarify. But there was one missing ow.
Shakira called it cinematic, and I think that was the perfect word for it.
That was a great way to put it.
Because the song just builds, but she just... She brings you in from the minute she opens her mouth.
She is so good. So beautiful, and I just... She really captures every song.
Yep.
Every single song goes into her body, and she just projects it out, and it is so amazing. I can't... I'm so happy she's still here, America. Please keep her here, please.
Well, and it's funny, please. Too, because I think a lot of times if you have a big voice like this, when you're watching them, they look like they're, like, working really hard, but she's just kind of like, here it is.
I love it. Just natural.
It's natural.
So good. And I thought this was the best performance of the season.
Her best performance or the overall best?
I would say the best performance
of the season. Whoa. Vocally... I mean,
I don't think it gets better than this.
It was incredible. I mean,
and what a
every
great,
note was flawless.
Yeah, what a great Aretha Franklin song to choose.
Well, and it's dangerous to do Aretha.
Of course.
But, and also, I like that it was a different one. You know, it's not an Aretha Franklin we hear all the time. And, oh my gosh, she's so connected, and it's so soulful.
Yeah.
And just wait till the end, right here.
There's the grit. Oh!
Hallelujah.
Oh, give me goosebumps again.
I know.
Again.
Woo! Oh my God.
Man.
Here we go.
Oh, the finish. The finish. The applause. Over.
Oh my God.
How loud
that is how you get
the
saved.
Ovation.
I mean,
that put her in the finale.
Okay, listen, hold on. Listen up, America. Listen up.
Yes. Listen, America.
If you you already broke my heart voting off Judith. If you vote off Sasha Allen,
your eyes are getting bloodshot.
I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm about to cry. I'm so serious right now. I'm so serious right now.
And America, for my sake being, I have to sit next to her.
But, save America, Sasha. For the sake of music in general, if you save the Swan Brothers and not Sasha, this whole country is going to hell. And you heard it here.
All right, Jason, you're playing like the Adam Levine card right now.
I know.
Wow.
Can we talk about that for 1 second?
Yeah, let's just...
So Adam, I understand him. After his two baby girls were voted off, he says, I hate America. And obviously Adam Levine doesn't actually hate America. But
people freaked out.
They freaked out, one.
They went nuts.
People magazine was like, should Adam apologize?
No.
And no.
America should apologize for voting them off.
Okay. America votes, and that's what he was saying, is he hates what the voters did. And it's understandable. Adam Levine doesn't hate America, you guys.
Leave Adam alone.
Leave Adam alone.
So
you were expecting him to wear, like, an American flag shirt today.
I wanted him to wear an American flag shirt today.
That would have been so funny.
Or at least just a lapel pin. Maybe, like, an enlarged lapel pin.
Just a hat.
Yeah. That
was a big old hat.
So let's talk about
we got to talk about Sasha's second performance,
which was
just as
equally
good.
As amazing. Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood, and she's up there in this sexy red dress, and then bam, rips it off.
Ooh!
And gets Beyonce crazy on us.
And I had to get a bowl to pick up my drool.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were about to say.
What?
Sorry.
Okay. I keep things PG.
I do too. Anyways, okay, I will say this, if we're going to give her a little bit of technical, it was a little bit, like, choppy in the verses
at
first.
Yeah, her breath. Mm-hmm. She needed to, like, breath.
But I think she just was filled with so much
energy. I think she was filled with energy, just ready to rip the thing off, because she ripped it off here.
Well,
as you hear the crowd screaming about.
And during the whole beginning, too, I think she just had so much energy.
Yeah.
She was,
like, ready to go.
Yeah, and she was performing the crap out of this song.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, every single thing she did was amazing. And, oh, my God, she was... I'm so mad that Usher and everyone said Sasha Fierce before I could, because I was like, ooh! She's Sasha Fierce, and then they go in and say it and steal my Sasha
credit.
Fierce thunder.
But I thought it was good to see her do something like very relevant to what's happening to music today, and like be on the ground sexy and the little two piece, and I don't know,
yeah,
but still singing. Like she was still true to who she was as a singer.
Yeah.
And she's a mama of two.
Yeah.
Get it,
yeah,
girl.
That is a yeah, MILF if I ever saw one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She's
agreed,
killing it. I mean, I loved, and this is sort of saying what you were saying earlier, Christian, about how they have two songs.
Yeah.
Her first song was this amazing, amazing power ballad, and now she comes in and does a country song.
Exactly.
And sort of does it. She kind of did like country rock R&B. Like yeah, she sort of fused she, all
it was
of
almost
them together.
A little like jazzy big band at the it beginning
kinda,
too.
Yeah. It kind of brought us back to her the very beginning when the Blind Audition she did Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, well, she had every genre of music
she's
in
done
one song.
Everything. She's done every genre. She's done rock. She's done R&B. She's done country.
How interesting was it, though, all the country songs that were performed tonight?
10 out of 12.
Wow.
Were country. That's crazy.
That's a lot. I mean, I think that's saying who the viewers of these talent shows are, and it's a lot of country fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think after Carrie Underwood won The Voice, from then on, there was a switch.
Oh, yeah, American Idol.
She won American Idol.
Or, I'm sorry, she won American Idol. And after that, there's the switch of country kind of being the focus of these.
Well, because even then, on all of the music competition shows, I think X Factor is the only show now that doesn't have some sort of country representation in the panel.
Yeah. I do need to say, though, I'm so buying that song on iTunes later, and I'm making sure I'm voting for Sasha so she doesn't get off.
Yeah.
And you know what you can also do on iTunes?
What can you do?
You can download AfterBuzz.
Hey, that's us.
And you can rate us and comment and tell your friends, and it only takes a minute. And I do want to thank all of our fans for rating and commenting because we have 5 stars, and
we really
appreciate
five
it.
And stars. We've been having conversations on YouTube with you all
I love
all
talking
the time,
with everyone.
It's so fun. So keep commenting. We
keep
love
commenting
it.
On YouTube. Keep commenting on iTunes. Keep commenting on our Twitters.
And we know that you're all going to comment on what we say about this next performer because nobody else in the world agrees with the three of us.
Who
and we
is
bring
it?
Up Danielle Bradbury.
Oh, Danielle.
Or as I like to say, Danielle Badbury.
Jeez.
Ouch!
She sang Shake That Sugar Tree by Pam Willis. And I got flack for saying this, but I'm going to say the same thing that I say every week. Danielle, Taylor Swift, circa 2007. Danielle, great voice. Danielle, can't emote anything.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say, and
I'll
say it for everyone. I've said it every week.
Great voice. I'm just over her image thing. Okay, I do need to say, so last week I wasn't here, and I missed y'all so much.
Aww.
I missed you too.
And, I had more space.
You did have space. But it was interesting because I went back home to Virginia.
Okay.
And I watched The Voice with my family.
This is appropriate that you're telling a story about back home with this country music.
I know. And I was back home in Virginia, and it was interesting not being in LA and being back home and listening to what everybody has to say about all the contestants. And what my mom kept saying to me about Danielle was, you guys are really hard on her. She's only 16. She's only 16. And I was like, okay, Mom. Miss Little Britney Spears was 16, and I know she's not a country performer, but she was emoting, and Taylor Swift
was 15 when she came
out.
Yeah.
And she is writing songs. And Blake even says you have to be a storyteller to be a country artist, and I'm just not seeing her storytelling.
Well, and what I don't get is him as a coach. He's never coached her. You've never heard him once coach on, like, stage presence. Today he did say something about storytelling.
Yeah.
But he gave her the note. Whereas if Usher was coaching her, he would say, with this line, who are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
Do this to the microphone. Do this when you're looking at me. And I think that's what she needs. And I think she could go on to be huge. But she's not getting that coaching.
Right.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Can you put the pen down? Because I'm afraid you're going to throw it at me.
Maybe.
I think I want it, actually.
Well, I do remember saying many, many, many weeks ago that she would get in the final five. And I thought this particular song was possibly her best all season. When you think of all her performances all season.
No, Memphis.
Yeah, I would say Memphis was her best.
I think this one was, yeah. I personally felt like this one a little more
I
than Memphis.
I just want him to give her a young, not Carrie Underwood song.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't done anything young that's not... I guess she did Taylor Swift in her original audition. But she needs... I want her to do a Hunter Hayes song.
I want her to just try a pop song. Just try
one. Yeah, or something
one.
Out of her comfort
no,
zone.
No, Blake would never do that.
I know he wouldn't.
But
that's
Blake
what upsets me.
Blake doesn't like to challenge his artists, where I think Adam as a coach and Shakira.
Yeah, they're challenging.
And even Usher, they like to say, okay, let's experiment and try this. And Blake plays it safe, but clearly it's paying off.
Blake is playing the game. Boyfriend knows how to play. Let's just say anytime, first off, when he was like critiquing Amber, he didn't say one good thing, and she was phenomenal, and she's a country artist.
Yep.
And second off, he, like you said, he goes above and beyond to cheer on his team and like really give him good critiques. And I just feel like we're like, I'm on to you, Blake.
No, I agree, because even like Adam and Usher and Shakira, even Blake's contestants are like, you are really good and you're doing this good. And I feel like Blake, unless it's his team, he's kind of just sitting there being smug.
Yeah, and he's kind of like the mean captain cheerleader.
Yeah.
Of all the coaches. Like, and, like giving backhanded comments and stuff
true.
Like
that.
It's
true, and this is, I'm usually completely, every other season of The Voice, I've been on Team Blake. And this is the first season where I'm, like, getting annoyed with him.
I think he's just playing the game. I want to see him take a break.
Well, he clearly knows how to play the game. He's won the last two.
That's valid.
I know, but it's annoying. Okay.
It's not fair. Okay, so next
wait,
up.
Wait, wait,
okay,
before wait. We go, I have to tell you guys what I wrote. Do you think when the show's over, that Danielle is going to date a Jonas brother or Justin Bieber?
I think she's not cute enough for Justin Bieber.
She's not sassy enough.
She's too young for Justin Bieber.
No.
She's 16.
She should date.
Because I think that's the only way to, like, launch her into what everybody
true.
Thinks.
She's going
to
get in a high-profile
relationship. And then she'll, like, then she'll break up and someone will write a really good breakup song.
She should
song.
Date Hunter Hayes.
Oh.
Have a little country.
Are we playing country matchmaker
yes,
right now?
Yes, we are.
All right.
So Danielle's choice was a little bit stronger by Sarah Evans. I actually like this song choice for her because I think this is a great song. But I don't think she can connect to it.
No,
it's
this
the
is the
thing.
Worst song choice for her.
Her story was, my sister went through a tough breakup. Yeah. So I'm going to sing this song.
Like, you can find something in your life to
there's
sing
gotta
about.
Be
like,
something.
Maybe she got a C on a paper in high school or something. Like, think about that.
I didn't make the dance team.
And also, we need to say, the outfit that she was wearing, we talked about this before.
Oh, my God.
Would be appropriate if she was singing, like, Carrie Underwood, Cowboy Casanova.
Yep.
Not this song.
This song's T-shirt and jeans.
Yep.
Just hang out.
T-shirt,
relax.
Jeans, barefoot.
Hey, side note. She should sing Jessica Simpson with you.
Oh.
When you said nothing but a t-shirt on, came to my mind.
I didn't say nothing but a t-shirt on. I said t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, whatever. Same thing.
She's 16. I said
I think this is the worst song choice for her because she can't emote, so she needs to not be singing songs that are all about emotion because this song can literally, when sang right, make someone cry.
I agree.
It's so powerful. It's so simple. It's so powerful. And for Danielle to sing it.
Well, and it's about Sarah Evans' divorce. Like, that's a tough subject. And okay, I would like to say, we don't hate Danielle as a person. We think it's great that she's this cute, sweet little girl that's 16 and made it on The Voice. Good for you. But now that you're on TV in front of America, we have a right to judge your vocal performances, right?
And here's the thing. You know, that, like, her last note, that is what all the judges talked about. She nailed the last note.
But Sasha nails
great.
Every note
I know, but listen to me. The fact that she nailed the last note, and then this note here, and that's the only thing the judges talked about was the last note. What about the other 2.5 minutes of that
you
song?
You know why? Because they're playing the game. They're playing the game of they have to be nice to her because she's killing it on iTunes.
Yep.
I mean,
do you want to know what I wrote in my notes for this song?
What did you write in your notes?
Bored, 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 bored.
I was more impressed by her wardrobe and hair than what she sang.
Thank you, Steven. Thank you.
Steven.
I like that.
Oh, Carl.
You're a mean girl. I don't know, but obviously we're not seeing what everybody else is seeing.
No, but I mean, that was the same thing we were saying about Holly weeks ago, and now we're starting to catch on to that.
Yeah, but she's
Holly's
growing.
Holly's gotten better, I think.
Yes, that is true.
I'm waiting for Danielle to get better.
Well, because Danielle vocally, well, except for that last song, that was kind of a vocal mess. But other than that, vocally, she's been killing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you just listen to her, she's good. But we live in a visual MTV society.
Yeah.
And it's about more than just high sound.
Mm-hmm.
And she's cute, but she's not, she doesn't have charisma or stage presence or any of that good stuff.
Yeah, I just can't see her singing songs and people relating to them. Like, I can't see her, in country music, you have to be a songwriter. You know, this isn't pop music. And Taylor Swift, again, is a great songwriter, not the best singer, but she can sing and she can
relate to songs, and that's what sells.
Uh-huh. And she just... Oh, Danielle.
So let's talk about a country singer who I believe has the entire package. Hey, Amber Carrington.
I think we all agree on that one.
Yes. First of all, Amber sang I Remember You by Skid Row.
Love this arrangement.
I've never heard this song, but I like what Blake did.
Adam.
This is Adam.
Oh, my God. Why did I say Blake?
with the mandolin.
I thought it was such a smart move to take an old 80s song and update it and make it relevant to who Amber is as an artist. Mm-hmm. And she sounded great on
it. She sounded fantastic.
I think it might have... I'm scared that it was too risky because not everybody's going to know this song. And she did an amazing job.
I'm going to be really upset.
But I'm just scared that because it's not that... It's not that well known of a song. Like, what if she did Guns N' Roses' "Take Me Home"? You know what I mean? Like, like a really, really popular one.
Listen to how good
one.
This is. It's going to be sad though if Adam's not able to take the risks he takes on the show now because of only country fans watching and voting.
Right. That will be upsetting.
You
know, that will be really
because I think that's part of what makes The Voice so unique is that they're a little bit edgier in their song choices, and you know.
Yeah, maybe when CeeLo comes back, something will blossom. You know, I don't know. It's really, I'm really upset about all of it. That it's sort of being like taken over versus how it used to be when it was very, very diverse and just,
yeah, like
there was a bald girl on it first season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like going from that far, it's, I just don't want it to be too commercialized.
So Sasha's the only person that's not like a white girl besides, you know,
The Swan Brothers.
But they're,
well, Michelle. I wouldn't say Michelle.
Oh, yeah, Michelle.
Yeah, okay, Michelle's unique.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, Amber is so cute and likable, and she's got this incredible voice, and she's one of the best singers around, not just on The Voice, like, today, and I don't think she's getting enough credit for it.
She's great. Like you said it best last week, how it feels like every week we forget about her, and then she sings, and we're just blown away.
I hope America's not like that, because I do feel she's kind of forgettable until you watch her sing, and then you're like, oh my God, I love her, I forgot.
But I think that's also kind of The Voice producer's fault, because they are everybody on the show, and Blake even, because this is my problem with Blake. After Amber sang her next song, Crazy by Patsy Cline,
amazing.
Blake goes, it was good.
I know.
That's all I said. It was good.
Blake, come on.
This was amazing, and this was better than any song Danielle sang in the competition combined.
And it's Patsy Cline, for God's sake. I mean, she's...
And she took this classic, and she did, like, such a good, you know what I mean, version of it, where it was...
She really, like... championed it.
Yeah, it like was almost like a tribute performance.
I
completely agree with you guys that this song was better than anything Danielle's done pretty much all season.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, that I'm worried about is what you were worried about with the first song. I'm worried about with this song. That, like, the youth of America won't connect with this song.
I don't think so. It's Patsy Cline, for goodness sake. It's just so beautiful.
Ask a 13-year-old who Patsy Cline is. You think they're gonna?
I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, they're not gonna know who Patsy Cline is.
I think it's disgusting,
right?
But I think like But it doesn't make any sense because Blake is picking like old early '90s country songs that nobody would ever hear, and Danielle's charting with them on iTunes.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I thought Amber sang this song so well.
Oh, definitely.
She
definitely
looked great. Can we talk about her performance? She dragged that mic stand. She's really
so sexy,
owning it.
Yeah,
definitely.
She's owning it, and I'm so happy for her that she's feeling really comfortable in herself and on stage. And I think she had the farthest to come from everybody in the competition, being the last on Adam's team. And I think it was obvious to her that she wasn't the best. Uh-huh. I mean, she's amazing vocally. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But I think she
was
she
up against
felt,
Judith. And,
and Sarah, who's super unique. And how do you compete with that? And Judith, who's, you know, colossal. And she's just, you know, really, really good. You know?
Sure. I also find it kind of interesting when you look at the final six, the three best as far as the stage presence and know how to work the stage are the three that are not on Blake's team.
I agree.
Oh, interesting.
Well, you top there in no particular order, Amber, Sasha, Michelle.
Yep, that's so true. And they're all very unique.
No,
whereas, and they're all
different. Much better than Amber on stage.
Huh?
on stage?
Oh, I said that's, oh, said that's not an order. That's not in any order.
Oh.
Just those are the top. Those would be the top three.
I'm just looking for a reason to argue with you.
I know.
But why?
We just want to fight.
I'm so lovable, though.
And I mean, I don't know. I'm always on Team Blake except for this season, and I just don't think any of his people, if they weren't on The Voice, would get any kind of recognition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think Sasha could make it without The Voice. Amber, I think, could make it without The Voice. Michelle, I think, could make it without The Voice. I don't think these three would get discovered.
As weird as this thing, I do think that Michelle might have needed The Voice just to get the exposure, because someone like her, people would, like the way she acts and looks, would turn the other way at first.
You know what I loved about the Michelle storyline today was when Usher was so sweet and just said to her, like,
yeah, I'm backing you as
I'm going to back you. He was like, you don't understand how connected we get. And I'm going to back you. Like, I'm your friend. I'm not just your coach. I love that.
That was so awesome.
So awesome.
And we could obviously continue this conversation going forever. We are going to get into some news and gossip.
Well, first, I want to hear Christian's scoring.
You want me to do the scoring thing first?
Okay, we're going
to
do the scoring thing now.
Okay, we'll do the scoring thing first. So we'll look at this in a second.
Is this a Microsoft Word document?
Yes, because I can't do anything.
Nothing but the best.
No, but let me, before we go into this...
And we got to do this quick because we're running out of time.
I just want to say, you know, like, when I was trying to think of good ways to possibly score it, it actually got me back to making a sports reference, where when in sports, when they vote for, say, like, the MVP or the Rookie of the Year, the writers and, like, different sports people, they vote and say, like, all right, I vote LeBron James first place. That gives them so many votes or points. I vote this guy second place. It gives them so many points. And then they calculate in them all. So I was thinking, take that strategy and put into The Voice. So what you do is coaches in America, you rank your top five performers. And then once you get to the final 12, what?
I hate to do this to you.
What you do?
What? This is the scoring system they did on Duets.
Is it really? It?
Yeah.
I did not watch Duets.
It was like this combined with the audience votes, so it was like a certain percentage.
But well,
the
good.
Judges ranked them like this.
Okay, well, let me continue, because maybe this is something a little different. I never watched Duets, but you know what? No one else did, because it was canceled after one season. So
that's my favorite show. Watch your back.
So you ranked the top five, you know, and so like first place 10, second 8, third 6, fourth 4, and fifth 2 points. Now, Adam, like, let's use Adam for example. Your coach cannot vote for his performer. So the votes come from the other three coaches and America, and you combine that total. So the maximum points you can get is 40. So, like, for example, if you can scroll down on the outline here, Steven. So, like, I use, like, an example with Sasha. Say Usher thought she was the best. Adam thought she was third. Blake thought she was second. And America thought she was fourth. Because Shakira can't vote, so you combine that score. So Sasha that week scores a 28. And then, you know, you do all the calculations to figure out whoever's the lowest score. Then they're eliminated. So this way, the judge's input is still used, even when you get down to the final 12.
Well, even on, like, Dancing with the Stars, it's like
they
a combination
like
of
this.
The judges and America's
they kind
of,
yeah, combination
think,
a little bit.
I think they might need to do something like this last season just to make it more fair.
I think so, too. What's interesting about this, though, is what about iTunes downloads?
The iTunes downloads. So if there's an event of a tie, because obviously ties could happen.
Oh.
So tiebreaker, then go to the iTunes downloads.
I like that.
So that can be your tiebreaker. And then, like, and then say, for example, you have tonight. Because Blake, being that three of the six people are on his team, he can only score three people. Therefore, the lowest points that he can give someone is a third place score.
Whoa.
So
that makes it
that
interesting.
That evens the field a little bit, just in case if in the future we have a situation like we do right now where it's all one type of genre.
Yeah.
So it helps the possibility, and then that breaks it all down. And then when you get to the finale, at that point, obviously nothing's ever going to be perfect, but then the judges and America should be happy with what they have. In the finale, you can go solely America's votes.
Wow, I really like this.
And as I said in the last sentence, it proves that I'm smarter than
you should
than others.
Mail this into the executives.
Well, people here, clearly The Voice, we know they listen to us, and we got fans that call in and everything.
Hey, Mark Burnett.
Spread the word.
Tweet this.
It's your boy.
This 5-minute section right here, if anything. Obviously, you should tweet the whole friggin' show, but that 5-minute section, then let's see if next season they could do something like that.
That would be cool.
I would think that
I mean, and The Voice
awesome.
Does change season to season how they score it.
Which is cool. I like that they're flexible.
I like that they're up to change. So maybe I think they're going to have to after this season.
Yeah.
Let's get into some news and
gossip.
All right,
now let's do the news and gossip. Well, yeah, the music's still going, so.
Okay. Oh. Well, I'm Usher. I don't know if you guys watched Healing in the Heartland, but Usher did a surprise performance of Home with Blake, and it was amazing. It was so awesome.
They sounded great, too, because they were both unplugged. Great. And I like to hear them both unplugged, and they sounded good together, and you wouldn't necessarily pair the two up.
Oh, my God. Usher's voice is amazing, and when Blake sings his own stuff, he really sings it. And Oprah paid a visit to the Voice set for her own network, and she interviewed Shakira and Adam, and she talked to Adam about marriage and Shakira about her baby. And so that's going to be on. No, it's airing next week, I think.
Oprah's Next Chapter?
Yeah. Okay. And also, Judith Hill is going to be on a documentary called 15 Feet from Stardom, I think. Something Feet from Stardom, and it's about backup singers.
Huh. Interesting. That'd be really
interesting. Which is really interesting. And so I miss you, girl, but still on your
keep
side.
Keep on keeping on.
And her album is coming out, too. She's already working on something.
Oh, good for her.
Awesome.
Okay, really quick, who do you guys think is going home?
Swan Brothers, gone. That's it. Okay. Swan Brothers, gone.
I think Holly Tucker.
I'm going to say Holly Tucker as well.
Yeah, I think Holly.
You guys comment and tweet us who you think is going to go home. We'll continue this conversation on Twitter. Where can
That's
they find
right.
You?
You can follow me on Twitter at CRosieVOC. Love to hear your thoughts of the scoring system and all that fun stuff. And Thursday's WWE main event After Buzz. And if you're in LA, Lovitz Club for the finale.
Yes, yes, yes. We are having our live finale event at Lovitz Club. And we've got a Facebook event that we've all been tweeting links to.
Yeah, we'll talk more detail about that event next week. But yeah, CRosieVOC for me.
Yes, we have a ton of surprises. Guests coming that we haven't announced yet, and we already have past voice contestants that are coming to the live event. So come on down, it's totally worth it. It's gonna be awesome. June 18th, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Chloe West X. You can also find me on the So You Think You Can Dance After Show and on my website at cheapthrills.me.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jason Eichler. And I'm on the Awkward After Show on Wednesday nights and Keeping Up with Kardashians on Sunday nights. We will see you guys in here next week.
See you later.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.